From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our La Crosse mayoral candidate forum continues with former La Crosse City Council member and banker Doug Farmer and Downtown Main Street Executive Director Tim Cabot. Earlier, we discussed neighborhood and downtown revitalization, as well as the rise of heroin in La Crosse. Our next question goes to Tim Cabot first. Tim, I'm wondering if we can talk about business development in the city. What sort of opportunities does La Crosse have to grow, and how would you attract more jobs to La Crosse?
Well, I think there are opportunities. I mean, we have seen a number of our great employers, our local businesses, you know, hire and expand and create jobs. And so, we obviously want to see that continue as much as we can. I do think as mayor, you want the city to be a good partner with the business community. I think you build relationships that way through communicating and working with them to do that. As mayor, I would like to be able to work with our companies and find out what types of complementary businesses that they work with that could possibly come to La Crosse, because I do think that's part of it is trying to attract some new companies and some new jobs here. But in all, the majority of that is to really work with our existing businesses, and the city has done a good job of that over the years, because that's where you see with our existing companies trying to grow, that's where you see the most job creation happening is with our local companies. And again, whether it's Kaplan or Logistics Health or Quick Trip, having good relations with those companies, I think is important. The city should be a partner, and there are times when because the city can't resolve every issue, of course. So there are times when the city really needs to help, whether that's to work on technical issues or infrastructure or zoning changes or whatever that case might be. The city should be there as a partner, but there are also times when the city just needs to kind of stay out of the way and let the company do its thing. So, I think there's great opportunities in the city. And as mayor, I would look to build those relationships with our businesses.
And Doug Farmer, business opportunities and where can we grow jobs?
Well, what we have here to get those business opportunities, what we have to sell is the neighborhoods. And that is our tax base is mostly made up of those neighborhoods. We can attract all the jobs in the world, but if we don't have a place for those people to live that is safe and they feel secure, that are stable, then we've achieved nothing. If we attract all those jobs and they live elsewhere, we have done nothing but crater La Crosse. And we need to protect those neighborhoods. Where people put their head at night is what says everything about them, and it says everything about our community. And so I think the number one thing, and you hear that all the time, people come here and they choose to stay here, and they may have jobs attendant with them because the quality of the life, and maybe it's the Bluffs and maybe it's the river. But it's also those unique neighborhoods, the chance to have a neighborhood, to raise your child in a neighborhood where everybody's kind of watching everybody's kids and it's back and forth. That's a great thing. I enjoyed that. I raised four boys at 21st and Cass. My son has moved in 50 feet away, so now obviously I have skin in the game for the next 40 years. I've seen that neighborhood change a lot in the last 40 years. I'm concerned about the next 40 years, and likewise. And so that is what attracts people, and that's what keeps them. People bring their own the jobs with them, so to speak, also. People create their own economic activity. Neighborhoods.
TIFs, tax incremental financing districts, have been used as a tool to help businesses expand, but they are controversial. Where do you stand on the issue of TIFs, and what is the future for TIFs in La Crosse? Doug Farmer.
Well, this is one of those speeches that each Tim and I can give for each other, and he has far more experience in TIFs. I always argue I have a lot more experience on a lot more things, but I have to yield to him on TIFs. And it is important. This will be the third set of guidelines I think I've seen developed for TIFs so they don't become political. But everything that goes to city council becomes political. And the guidelines will last just as long as they're convenient when someone argues this is an exceptional case, and we'll depart from the guidelines. I voted against the Quick Trip TIF, and I did that with huge regret. I've known the Zitlows a long time, and Quick Trip is a good corporate citizen. But what I look for in each TIF wasn't there on that one. And what I've always looked for is additional ripple effect, and that's the only phrase I can use for it. Every piece of economic activity creates additional buzz, but unfortunately, where TIFF was, where Quick Trip was located, I didn't see the additional buzz developing. And I'm I assume when the next LHI TIFF development comes to the council, as it rounds the corner, so to speak, and comes into downtown more so, we'll see a lot of additional economic buzz coming off of that. And at that point, I think we'll see the Grand River Station fill up quite quickly because you'll have all those people which represent economic activity. So that is, I've seen TIFFs presented to the council that didn't even have assessment guarantees, and we should have that. But I also look for some kind of secondary economic ripple. Otherwise, it's just kind of a break-even or bad deal for the taxpayer.
And Tim Cabot, where do you stand on TIFFs?
Well, the TIFFs are one of the only tools that the city has to try to promote development and work on, redeveloping our city. It is a very vital tool, but there does has to be standards. There has to be limits in place. One of the primary candidates, Mr. Nestor, talked about having more. More transparency when it came to financial reports and just being able to track job numbers, and it's probably the only issue that I agree with Mr. Nestor on, but I do think that transparency and having that information is vital to our TIFF and to our government, so that our citizens and taxpayers can know firsthand what has been spent, what is the city borrowed, how many jobs have been created. And I think that just makes for better policy, because then you can better understand if a TIFF is not working as well. Well, then let's make some changes and see what we need to do there. And I think, the discussion, because there are issues and things that come up year after year after year, it points again to the fact that we just there hasn't been standards, there hasn't been policies in place. And it just becomes something that is almost knee jerk reactions at times, and I don't think that's right when it comes to TIFF. I do think we have to have a policy in place, and as mayor, I would want to work on that and promote that. I think TIFFs for neighborhood, using some TIFF proceeds for neighborhood revitalization, is a good idea. We actually talked about that back in 2006. When I was a member of the city staff, and we proposed for the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood some TIFF proceeds to help with housing revitalization and some infrastructure. And, the council at that time didn't feel it was, a priority, or just didn't feel that that was possible. So that program didn't get funded. So I think if we have some clearer guidelines, clearer standards, we can actually use TIFF to the city's benefit.
It's well known that the city has high property taxes. Is this actually an issue that can be addressed by the mayor? And if so, how? Tim Cabot.
Well, this is a very, very challenging issue. I think, obviously through the budget process, the mayor should be an active participant in that. The last couple of years, the council has been very active in putting together their procedures for the, for the budget. In years prior, I know that there was an executive budget that was put together by the mayor. So there are ways that the mayor can have some very direct input into that property tax levy. And having experience in preparing budgets and balancing budgets, I feel very comfortable with that. But I do think that our issues with property taxes and the poverty we have in this city, they go hand in hand. I think it is an issue that the city cannot try to address alone. I think there is a need for federal and state resources and partnering to happen here, because for far too long the federal and state governments have been making it even a greater burden for cities by cutting shared revenue and by creating unfunded mandates for the city to deal with. And so I think that is an issue, and poverty deals with that, because we have way more than our, over 20% of our population is considered to be in the poverty level. The demands for services, the issues that go along with that, puts an additional burden on the city. And so we have a lot of demands for service and just, challenges with trying to, have a government that our city residents can afford. And, as mayor, you have some control through the budget, but I also think you've got to reach out to federal and state legislators and others as well, because the city can't do it alone.
And Doug Farmer, what can a mayor really do about property taxes?
Well, neither Tim or I are saying you can cut property taxes, which that's a dose of realism, because that's going to be very difficult. What we have to do is maintain the present level of taxes, not adjusted for inflation, but the present level. The inflation rate is so small right now that if we can keep the tax levy the same, inflation, in a sense, then results in a 1.5% or 2% reduction, which is huge. That's enough. Now, how to do that? When I was chairman of the County Finance Committee, for 4 years, we produced a tax budgets that had no tax levy increase. Now, notice I didn't say no mill rate increase, no tax levy increase, because I always regarded that mill rate thing as something the taxpayers couldn't follow, a little bit of a shell game. So let's just simply say the taxes were so much last year, we were going to hit that same figure this year. Now, that is done. There are all kinds of budgetary models, and the trick is, and as I said again last night, the trick is to have a budgetary model that forces the department head to think through their department a different way. In other words, not just last year's budget, but some other way of approaching it. And then they, in a sense, in that process, and there are a couple of different models you can use that I used at the county. In that process, they guide you, in a sense, because no mayor will ever know a department's budget as well as the department head. If you do, then you have the wrong department head, or you have an exceptional mayor. But it just isn't going to happen. So you set up a process where the department head guides the budget, and it comes in where you want it at the same levy. And because he guides it, or she guides it, it comes in responsibly.
Another issue that comes up time and again is the issue of transparency. This relates to citizens being able to access information at City Hall, and obviously this has to do with the media too. Our next question from a La Crosse community resident tackles this issue.
My name is from Anastasia, and I work in La Crosse, and I'm wondering how the mayoral candidates will consider public information requests from the media. I know that there have been, there was a recent study showing some areas doing better than others, but I'm wondering if both candidates will be open and honest about what's going on at City Hall with the media.
Doug Farmer, when it comes to transparency.
Well, I think yes, and we're all in favor of transparency. And let me diverse here for a second. Mr. Cabot mentioned Mr. Nestor, who always says the county's TIF program transparency is much better than the city's. But if you corner Mr. Nestor, he'll admit that the county only has one TIF, so it's much easier to, you know, assemble that smaller amount of data. I think the city's pretty transparent. There are cases where you have people who come in and just want reams of data. And the city says we'd like time or like to be compensated, and that may be a fair request because you have to you just cannot let people ask for all the records for the last 20 years and think that there's no cost. That's very expensive. I think our website is going to be 90% of this issue. Because there's a greater and greater expectations on the part of people that more and more is going to be found on various websites. I think Mr. Cabot and I both agree that our city website could flow a little better. I think the information sometimes is there. Occasionally I find it. But it does seem to be circuitous, and I've done a lot of work on the fence ordinance, but I can't find it at will. Sometimes I stumble across it, and that's the problem. It just doesn't flow well. I see the time's up.
You had another 30
that's
seconds,
fine.
But
that's fine.
Tim Cavett, transparency with citizens, but also with the media.
Yes, I think transparency is very critical, very important. I'm very much in favor of that. To add on to, you know, some of the comments from Mr. Farmer with the website, you know, I think the website can resolve a lot of the issues if the information is there and readily accessible, especially when it comes to budgets and some of our TIFs and, you know, those reports. I think putting them on the website would make it just a lot easier and make it easier on staff, because then they wouldn't have to spend as much time, you know, trying to deal with that. So, I mean, I think transparency, it's a very cut and dried issue. We've got to be as transparent as possible. I think the media has every right to know, especially when you're talking about, you know, city tax dollars and city programs. It should be very clear, and that information should be readily available. And I think, again, as mayor, you set a tone by being open and communicative and You know, having an open door so that if folks do have questions and want to know what's going on, they can knock on the mayor's door or give the mayor a call and find that out. And I think that's important, and that's what I would be about.
Our time's running low here, so I'm going to give you each the opportunity to ask each other a question, and then we'll move into the final rebuttals. Tim Cabot, would you like to ask Doug Farmer a question?
Well, I just had one question about the solid waste contract that's going on with the city right now. I know that Mr. Farmer, you've got a close personal relationship with Mr. Gary Harder, who owns Harder's Quick Cleanup, and they are one of the companies that are one of the finalists for the contract. And I know that relationship goes back a while. I'm just wondering if, as mayor or being in office, if you would be able to be very impartial during those negotiations and those discussions, and just how you would handle that as being in office with those negotiations.
I don't see any problem. It's typical of La Crosse. Most of us have known everybody forever. Sometimes we even share the same attorneys, adversarial parties. So I don't see any problem. It goes back to when I was chairman of the Solid Waste Management Committee for the county and cited the first countywide landfill in the state of Wisconsin out there. And so I obviously have a long history in the garbage area, or whatever you want to call it. And that was quite an environmental thing when we did it. It was quite remarkable, and we changed an awful lot of people's habits and the culture in doing so. And there were an awful lot of people then who felt that what we were doing was just way too controversial. What we were doing was taking away Dad's trip to the dump on Saturday mornings, which if those of us who are older think back to our hometowns, was a piece of Americana. Everything got pushed into the ravine, and it was an environmental nightmare, and which is why you have so many Superfund sites today all around. But I've faced difficult questions in the past, obviously, and that was a very difficult one, getting people to change the culture of how they handled their garbage and handling it in a responsible manner, so I don't see any problem.
Doug Farmer, did you want to ask Tim Cabot a question?
No, I'm going to pass.
All right. Well, we have about a couple minutes left for final rebuttals, so Doug Farmer, if you want to give your final rebuttal, we have about a minute and a half each.
Would this be a conclusion? Is that
this,
it?
Yes, conclusion,
yeah, all right,
rebuttal.
All right, there you go. Well, I've enjoyed serving on the city council. I've balanced budgets. I've negotiated union contracts. I've participated in municipal borrowings. I've negotiated health insurance contracts. There's literally not a facet of City Hall that I haven't seen up close and personal. My opponent worked in the planning department, which is a significant department, but it's one of our smallest. I think that I know the various ins and outs of City Hall better. City Hall can work if you know how the pieces fit. In the last 4 years, we had a mayor who good man, but I think he'd tell you he suffered from a lack of experience. And I don't think we need a repeat of those 4 years. The last 4 years have been 4 years of drift that hasn't been good for the city, and I hope very much to be part of the solution.
And Tim Cabot, your final argument.
Well, I want to thank again Wisconsin Public Radio for the opportunity, and for you, Maureen, for moderating today. I want to be the next mayor because I love this city. I think it's, again, a great city. It's got great opportunity. When I knock on doors and do neighborhood events, I'm just always thrilled by that, because there's just a lot of positivity and people, in the city that want to see our city get even better. So as mayor, I'm going to work hard every day to do that. I also have experience, 20 years experience at the local government level, whether that's at the city or county level, managing budgets and managing projects, and feel that I know that I have the experience to be able to do that. I think that what I hear from folks when I knock on doors and when I interact with them is they are looking for a mayor and a council and departments to work together. They are tired of the negativity and tired of the things that are not getting done. And, they want to see some new leadership. They want to see some new ideas and a perspective there that can bring people together. And I think that's one of my greatest strengths, is being a consensus builder and somebody who can come together and, work with folks to make our city a better place.
Well, Tim Cabot, Doug Farmer, thank you so much for joining us today. Doug Farmer and Tim Cabot are the La Crosse mayoral candidates. The election is on April 2nd. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, photos, and much, much more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.